السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. الحمد لله وده فضل كرم إحسان فالله تعالى. الله پاک is giving us an opportunity to continue with our Sira lesson. So we were discussing with regards to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's incident of Mi'raj and the different things that Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen in Alame Barzakh, right? So the last we had discussed was those people who had in front of them pure meat, lovely cooked meat, and next to it was a pot of raw meat that was petrifying, it was rotten, etc. But these people were eating the rotten meat rather than partaking of the pure meat. And Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out that who are these people. Then he was told that these are the people whom Allah Ta'ala had blessed with lawful spouses, but they then chose to go to illicit beloveds and engage in zina, engage in haram. So, continuing with this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned that they passed by a person who had gathered a big load. He was carrying a big load. He was carrying a big load of wood, which he couldn't even hold, he couldn't even lift it, right? He couldn't even lift this load. And although this load was so big that he couldn't even lift it, but he was still gathering more, So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked that who is this person? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam replied that this is a person of your ummah who has many rights and obligations due unto others, and he is unable to discharge them, yet he loads himself even further by taking on more and more obligations. So hukuk, I know Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda sahab, Damat Barakatuh, he always mentions in the majalis that life is about hukuk, fulfilling hukuk. What is the haq of Allah Ta'ala upon me? What is the haq of Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon me? What is the haq of my neighbor upon me? What is the haq of my wife upon me? My children upon me? Our late Shaykh Azmai Ispatiya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah fill his qabr with noor, he used to always say that when we go into marriage, the husband, he must be concerned and worried about what are my wife's hukuk. And the wife must be worried about what are my husband's hukuk. The parents must be worried about what are my children's hukuk. The children must be worried about what are the parents' hukuk. If we have to live like this, then our homes will become like Jannat. But if a person is only going to worry about what are my rights due unto me, everybody else must fulfill my right, then we'll always be arguing and fighting. The wife will be complaining, but my rights are being compromised. The husband will be complaining, etc., etc. Gee. Then also, there are certain situations in our lives that we voluntarily want to take on hukuk. For example, sometimes you get a person, now a masjid is being built in the area, or a madrasa is being built. Now he wants to become a mutawalli. He may not be fit to be a mutawalli. He doesn't have the proper knowledge of being a mutawalli, right? But now he must get elected. He wants to, now he's taking on responsibility. He's taking on extra. One is he's got his wife, he's got his children, he's got his employers, he's got his neighbors, he's got his employees. All those hukuk he has to fill. But he's not fulfilling those hukuk properly. But then he still wants to take on even more hukuk. A person has got a wife. He is not fulfilling her haq. Right? She is complaining, she is crying. He is not fulfilling her haq. Sometimes he is even making zulam upon her. Then he wants to go and take on another responsibility on his head. So we have to see, live out. One is Allah Ta'ala sometimes puts things, you know, upon us that we have to make sure to the best of our ability that we can fulfill those hukuk. But lot of us, many of us, just seeking name or seeking fame or wanting to be in the know, we want to take on. You get people in today's society, you know, I'm part of this organization, that organization, I'm a trustee in that organization, and I'm a trustee here, right? Fair enough, my name may be on all those papers. Am I fulfilling the hukuk? Am I fulfilling the right? So many, many times it happens like this. People just look for a name to put a name there. But the person who wants his name to be put there, he must check, will I be able to fulfill the haq? Now look at this person in the barzakh. He's carrying such a huge load and yet he's looking for more. He can't manage to carry what he got in front of him, but yet he's putting more on top. Then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by people whose tongues and lips were being cut with iron shears. After being cut, it would return to its original form, and this process continued unabated. Right? In other riwayat, it comes that it was being slit, being slit with iron shears, tongues, lips. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what is this? Allah, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam replied, that they are speakers and lecturers who lead others astray. The person, Allah Ta'ala has given him that position, right? That he has been given the mimbar, or he is in a leadership position, and then instead of leading the ummah towards sirat-e mustaqim, instead of leading the ummah onto the right path and doing good things for the ummah, the person is leading the ummah astray. Person is telling the people wrong things. And also, you know, another, you know, in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. That, O you who have brought iman, why do you say that which you yourself you don't do? And in another hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that people who were, you know, learned and they were public speakers, etc., then they will be called on the day of Qiyamah and they too will be admonished that I gave you ilm, I gave you knowledge, what did you do with it? And they will say that, Ya Allah, we used it, you know, to guide the people, etc. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, yes, you did that, but what was your intention? Your intention was, the people must call you a learned person. You get fame amongst the people. And you finish get that in the dunya. So now there is nothing here for you in the akhirat. And then that person will be taken. The malaika will be instructed to take that person and fling him into the fires of Jahannam. So I appeal to each and every one of you that on the one hand, you know, we have these programs, etc. But Allah Ta'ala must not make me, right, or protect me from being from those people who speak and lead the ummah astray, or those people who speak and don't make amal upon what they are saying, or speak just for name and fame. So I request you that remember me in du'as and make du'a for me that Allah Ta'ala protect me from the evils of my own nafs, and Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq to practice on whatever we preach. Allah Ta'ala must safeguard us from hubbe jah, love of fame, etc. Thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a small rock from which a huge ox was born. The small rock there, and from this rock a huge ox was born. The ox then tries to go back into the rock, but it is unable to do so. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what is this? Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam answered that this is the position of a person who utters something grave and in consequences, he becomes embarrassed, but he is unable to retract his words. I think in the zamana that we are living in, right, we can understand this so many times. We are just passing on messages, etc., on the social media, and we think that we are passing on information, but in actual fact we are passing on misinformation. Sometimes we are insensitive, right? We are speaking about people's personal lives. Sometimes we are spreading lies and rumors. Must remember, not everything that we receive on social media is authentic, and not everything is to be forwarded to others, right? Then also what happens, we just hear some news, right, on this news bulletin, that news bulletin, this news bulletin, right? And not every news bulletin is true. Not every news bulletin is true, right? The media, as we know, this is a tool that Shaitan uses. Shaitan and his agents in human form, they use this tool. Like, just see how they are creating, you know, such situations around the world by using the media. They get people to believe what they want the people to believe, right? Although that may not be the reality on the ground, but they get people through the media, and we then forward the same lies. Right? We then forward the same lies. And I always mention this, that especially when there is some war taking place, some situation where, and generally it is the kuffar killing Muslims, right? And then certain pictures, etc., are passed around, and we then just carry on circulating those things. Then also, sometimes there is social welfare work taking place. There may be people who are in refugee camps or whatever, and now we go there to do a little bit of distribution of some aid, right? And then videos are made of these things, and these things are then circulated everywhere on the social media. We must remember, be a little sensitive, right? Those people that are standing in the queue to collect a little hamper or to collect a little meal, that is somebody's mother, it is somebody's father, it is somebody's grandfather, right? Because they are muhtaj, right? They are muhtaj. Maybe that man was a businessman, right? Maybe he was a businessman. He was a respectable person. He never went anywhere for a handout, right? And now, because of the war situation, or because of some flooding, or some whatever it may have been, natural disaster or whatever, and now they are standing in a line, standing in a queue, right, to collect one little hamper, and we making a video of this whole thing. One is that photography is bilkul impam, is haram, right? Photography is haram in all its forms. It is haram. And then that is one guna. Then on top of it, we are videoing these people. They maybe don't want to be videoed, but because they're muhtaj, they can't say anything, right? So we make a video of them in their pain. We're making a video of them. And thereafter, we take that video and then we blast it everywhere on the social media and give ourselves a pat on the back. Why are we putting it on the social media? Everybody must see what our organization is doing. Everybody must see what hard work we are doing. And everybody must see what is the plight of these people. Right? The plight of the people, if we really need to explain it, we can explain it. Right? We want people to understand what they are going through. We can do so with words. Why do we have to put videos and all that? Imagine, Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala protect us all, keep us with afiat. But imagine a situation, if our mother, our granny, our father, our uncle had to be standing in a queue somewhere because that place where they are staying has gone through some problem, and now they are standing for a little handout and they are videoed like that. Now your mother is videoed. I remember Allah Ta'ala allowed for us to go to Bangladesh, and some distribution was taken place there on behalf of the Jamiatul Ulama and other well-wishers, etc., Jamiatul Ulama of KZN and other well-wishers. So many people that came to collect those hampers, they are so embarrassed, They are so embarrassed to take that hamper. And there were so many people whom Allah, I mean, they are self, you know, they've got respect. They never ever did this thing in their life. They don't even come to these queues to collect the hamper. They are so embarrassed. They don't even come to these queues to collect the hamper. And now if you're making a video of that lady, that granny, that, and you're sending it out everywhere. Now in a year's time, 2 years' time, 3 years' time, maybe that condition will pass. But now you have videoed that person and sent it around everywhere. And everybody is looking. And how embarrassing it is for that person. So we must abstain from these kind of things. So khair, this passing around of every type of a message that comes, somebody just says something, right? Just forward it, just forward it, just forward it. And another habit that our people have today, Allah forbid, is that people sometimes they got a dispute with somebody, right? Then they write things to get rulings. And they write a whole lot of false things. And then they get rulings on those matters. And then that is then plastered on social media. Do we think Allah Ta'ala is not watching? Allah Ta'ala is watching, and there is big guna for all of this. So during these days of lockdown, it is a time for us to introspect. If I have these habits, I must make tawbah, I must make istighfar, and I must change my ways. The next thing, Huzur-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed by a valley of pristine, pure air. There was a scent of musk. A voice was heard. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "What is this?" Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam replied, "This is the voice of Jannah. This is the voice of Jannah. She is saying, O Rabb, please give me the promise which you made to me. My upper levels brocade." I can't pronounce the next word here. Maybe you know what it is. S-A-R-C-E-N-E-T. It's probably some type of pearl or something. Right? So brocade, then that word there. Thereafter pearls, corals, silver, gold, glasses, plates, jugs, trays, honey, water, milk and wine have become just too much. Therefore, grant me what has been promised to me, meaning the dwellers of Jannah. I've got all these things in me. Nobody is using it. There are so much. Send me the dwellers of Jannah so that they may utilize these bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered, "For you has been ordained every Muslim and Muslima, Mu'min and Mu'mina. Those who bring iman upon me and my messengers, alayhimus salam, they do not commit shirk with me, and they do not take anyone as a partner unto me, will remain safe. I will give the one who asks me and compensate the one who gives me a loan." Now where can we give a loan to Allah Ta'ala? But when Allah Ta'ala blesses us with wealth, and then we take that same wealth which belong, that wealth belongs to Allah Pak. Allah Pak gave it to us. And then we take that same wealth and we spend a little bit of it in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala calls that a loan to Him. How Rahim and Kareem is our Allah. "Whoever reposes their trust on me, I will suffice for them. I am Allah Ta'ala, and there is no deity besides me. I do not go against my promise. Indeed, the believers have attained success, and Allah Ta'ala, who is the best of creators, is blessed." Jannat then replied, "I am satisfied." So let us aspire for that Jannat. Let us aspire for that Jannat. Coming to another valley, a dreadful sound was heard, and a stench filled the air. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that, "What is this, O Jibreel alayhi salam?" So Jibreel alayhi salam replied that, "This is the voice of Jahannam." Now what is Jahannam saying? "O Rabb, grant me what you have promised me. On that side, Jannat is saying, Ya Allah, grant me what you promised me. And Allah reiterated his promise that these are the people who are going to come to you. On this side, Jahannam is saying, must remember, Jannat and Jahannam, both are the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. So Jahannam is saying that, Ya Rab, grant me what you have promised me. In other words, you promised to fill me with the inmates of Jahannam, because my chains, my neck collars, my flames, my hot water, my pus, and my punishment has become just too much. My depth has become immense, and my heat has become intense. Allahumma hafazna min, Allahumma hafazna min. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allahumma ajirna min an-nar. Allah Ta'ala replied, for you has been assigned every mushrik, mushrika, kafir, kafira, and every proud antagonist who does not believe in the day of reckoning. Jahannam replied, I am satisfied. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman, wa amitna ala al-iman, wa ahshurna yawm al-qiyamati ma'al muttaqina ma'al iman. That Ya Allah, you keep us firm upon iman. Let us pass away also upon iman. Give us death upon iman. And resurrect us on the day of qiyamah also upon iman. We pass away with iman, then at least we have a chance. You have a chance to pass away with iman. You know, if a person passes away with iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will either forgive the person, right? He can forgive the person, totally forgive the person. Or if he doesn't forgive the person had some gunas, then Allah ta'ala can punish that person and thereafter put the person into Jannat. But the person who passes away without iman, right, there's no way that that person will go to Jannat. So we must always make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that Allah has blessed us with iman, made us of the ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He keep us firm upon our iman, right? And let us pass away on iman, resurrect us on iman, right? In it, the following narration of Hazrat Abu Sa'id also, it appears that my eyes fell on a woman. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that my eyes fell on a woman whose hands were open and every sort of adornment which Allah Ta'ala has created was on it. She said, O Muhammad, referring to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that take a look at me. I wish to ask you something. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I ignored her. In the same hadith appears that Jibreel alayhi salam told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first caller was a missionary of the Jews. If you had answered him, your followers would have become Jews. The second caller was an evangelist of the Christians. If you listened to him, your followers would have become Christians. And that woman who was standing with her hands open, she is the dunya. In other words, the consequence of you replying to her would have been that your ummat would prefer the dunya over the akhirat, as was mentioned. We had mentioned this previously. So these happenings appear to have been seen prior to the ascension to the heavens. In regard to some happenings, there is clarification of the sightings being after the ascension. Thus, in the same hadith mentioned above appears that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the heavens nearest to the world and he saw Adam alayhi salam. Many dastarkhans were laid out, you know, eating mats were laid out, upon which delicious meat was placed, but strangely, no one was seated there. On other eating mats, rotten meat was placed and many people were sitting there. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam said that these are people who abandon halal and they devour haram. Allah Ta'ala, whatever rozi Allah has written for us, Allah has decreed our halal rozi. Whether it be a lot, whether it be a little, sometime Allah Ta'ala may close the tap little bit, sometime Allah Ta'ala opens the tap so much, right? But Allah has decreed our halal. And whatever is decreed for us, we will definitely get it. Whatever is not decreed for us, we will never get it, right? But many a time, in our greed for wealth, we leave the halal and we go for things that are haram. Also in the same hadith appears that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by people whose stomachs were like apartment blocks. Huge stomachs they had. When any of them tried to get up, they immediately fall down. They can't carry their weight. They can't walk. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these are the people who were the devourers of interest. They engaged in interest transaction. Now we know with regards to interest, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has cursed the person who takes interest, who gives interest. It means even, say, one is a person who is charging interest, right? He is eating the interest. The other is a person who is paying interest, right? He is assisting this whole, what you call, transaction of interest, because he is prepared to pay the interest. And today, how many of us, Allahumma fazna min, Allah protect us, how many of us are involved with the banks? We're buying motor cars through the banks, right? And I'm not talking about where it is a zarurat. Sometime Allah Ta'ala has blessed a person with the car, right? But now he wants, you know, to have a certain type of a car, or just because the shape changed, now he wants to change the shape, and he can't afford it, now he's going to the bank, and he's getting involved in interest transaction. So, then we're buying houses also, on interest transaction, we are buying houses, right? And on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala has blessed so many people with wealth. Allah has blessed people with wealth. And sometimes their own brother needs to buy a house. Their own brother needs to buy a motor car. But they are not prepared to loan the person the money. And many people who have got wealth, when they are approached for a loan, then they complain that, you know, today people are not trustworthy, they don't pay back, etc. Right? So this is why I don't want to lend anybody money. You see, in our life, we must look at Allah's khazana. Look at Allah's khazana. Right? If Allah gave us wealth, see with this wealth how I can earn ma'akhirat. Right? Now let's just take a little scenario. Right? Let's just take a little scenario. Say, for example, if I have got 1 million rand, right? I got 1 million rand lying. I'm not using it. It is savings. I've taken it. It's extra money. I've just put it away. I'm not, it's not my, you know, petty cash. It's not my capital for my business. Nothing. It's money that I've made. I've got 1 million rand and it's put away one side, right? Now I'm thinking in my mind, what I can invest it in. So, somebody will offer me one investment. Maybe I'll get 10% per annum, 11% per annum. Maybe if I'm foolish, I'll get caught up in one pyramid scheme, right? And then I'll lose my money, right? Or I'll invest it in some intelligent investment and I get 10%, 11% per annum, right? That is what generally what a person will get back. Returns, he will get back 9%, 10%, depending, right? On the other hand, my Muslim brother came to me and he wants to buy a house. The house he wants to buy is maybe 1.2 million, 1.3 million. He's telling me that, you know what, I got 300,000-400,000. I need the balance. Can you loan me the balance? And if I go to the banks, I'm going to have to pay maybe an installment of 15,000 rand a month. On top of it, they'll want me to take out insurance, etc. So never mind, I will pay you back 20,000 rand a month. I've got a good business, etc. I'll pay you back 20,000 rand a month. Please help me. Now, I'm working out in my head now, 20,000 this fellow is going to pay me. Right? In 1 year, he'd only pay me 240,000. It's going to take him plus minus, right, 4 or 5 years to give me my money back. Right? In that time, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if he doesn't pay me? These are all the thoughts that are going through my mind. Right? But if I take that money and I loan it to him, I took that 1 million rand and I loaned it to him. Right? Every day thereafter, every day, you see, one is I'm loaning to him. Right? But now my niyat is that, Ya Allah, I'm loaning this person the money because he is your servant. He's your servant. He is in a need. You have blessed me with this surplus money. This money is extra. If I don't have it tomorrow to it, it won't tickle me in the least. Right? It's extra money. What I mean it won't tickle me in the least is it won't affect my standard of living in any way. It's extra money to me. Right? So, Ya Allah, this banda of yours needs this money. I'm loaning it to him. One is, my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has informed me that for as long as, you know, a banda is helping another banda, Allah Ta'ala will be helping the banda who is helping. Right? So I'm helping this banda in the hope that you will be assisting me. You will be helping me, number one. I'm doing this for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. I'm making ikram a Muslim. Then on top of it, Ya Allah, by me helping him, he will be safe from going to riba. Right? So many intentions a person can make. And now he gives this person the money. Right? As soon as he gives the person the money, every day thereafter, he gets the sawab of giving that amount in charity for the duration of the time it takes for that man to pay him back. So say that man took from him 1 million, that man said, right, see, 5 years time, I'll return your money. For that whole 5 years, every day, this man is getting sawab that he gave 1 million rand in charity. Right? Now what is the sawab for charity? Minimum is tenfold. Up to 700-fold. So let's just go with the minimum. This man gave 1 million. He gave 1 million loan. He is going to get this 1 million back also. Inshallah, he'll get it back. Right? So he gave the 1 million. Next day, he's getting sawab that he gave 10 million in charity. Because minimum sawab back is 10. Right? And up to 700. Now count for one year, if every day he got sawab of giving 10 million in charity, for the 365 days in the year, what is his returns? If he took that money and invested it in a dunyavi investment, just, I'll phone them back, take the number. Maaf, there's something to see to there. So what I was explaining to you.
She's actually on a call. Can I get them to call you back?
What I was explaining to you is, you got, what you call, if you invested it in a dunyavi investment, right? Some dunyavi investment, and you're getting back 10% per annum, right? So you invested 1 million rand, by the end of the year, you would have made 100,000 rand on that 1 million rand. So you'd have your 1 million rand and you made another 100,000 rand on that million. Right? But if you invested it with Allah Pak, every day you're getting 10 million back. Every day you're getting 10 million back. Right? Now, if this person pays you back the money, if he pays you back the money, everything goes according to plan. After 5 years, you got your 1 million rand back too, plus you got 10 million every day, sawab, over 5 years. You work out the mathematics. Right? On the other hand, let's take a scenario where this person never pay you back. Say he went into some financial problem, whatever. He lives for another 20 years and he is unable to pay you back. For that whole 20 years, you are still getting the sawab of giving 10 million every day. And then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak will still compensate you. And if that man sincerely he couldn't pay you back because, I mean, his niyat was to pay, but he went into some problem, Allah Ta'ala will pay you on his behalf. Right? Allah will pay you on his behalf in sawab, in the currency of Jannat. And if he was being treacherous or he was being deceitful and he just, you know, lied to you that he can't pay back, Allah Ta'ala is still going to pay you back. You'll get all his sawab, all his neki, everything. Right? And then Allah will punish him for his wrongdoing. Right? So if Allah Ta'ala has blessed us in that way, that we have got that extra monies. There are people who are sitting with lot of extra monies. Allah Pak has blessed people in the ummah, right? One weddings, they are spending millions of rands, and one just more and more sports cars, and more buildings, and more whatever, right? If we can help somebody out, I know of people, alhamdulillah, who have helped people. I know of people who have helped others. That, never mind, you need a motor car. Here's a loan. Buy the motor car. Pay me back slowly. Others have helped people to buy houses. Right? You know, so many of our ulama, right? They never tell me to make this announcement, right? But I'm just explaining to you. Sometimes so many of our ulama, they are serving the community. They in one masjid, serving the community, sometimes 15 years, 20 years, right? And they are sometimes wealthy people in that community. And that alim doesn't have a house of his own. Right? What will happen? One is, if we don't do it, Allah Ta'ala will still take care of that alim. Alhamdulillah, there's no alim who's on the road. There's no alim who's dying of poverty. There's no alim who's dying of starvation. And there's no alim who don't have clothes on his back. Allah Ta'ala takes care of his people. Those who are serving the deen of Allah, Allah Ta'ala takes care of them in his way. But I'm telling you, for us to get sawab, for us to get sawab, right? Now, if people, you know, they are sometimes wealthy people in that community, right? What will happen to them if they buy one house and give it to that alim and say, all right, never mind, you pay us so much a month back. Or if they gift it to him, even better. This is how we can use our wealth for the akhirat. And I'm not mentioning this because I want anybody to come and give me a house. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us a roof. Right? So I'm not saying this because I want now, I'm making some sort of tashkil for people to come do for me. No, I'm just mentioning this, that there are people out there, sometimes there's a widow out there. And there are people in our community who are doing this. There was one businessman that one lady was working. Now, whether the lady is supposed to be working for people, that's another topic. But I'm just explaining to you what people are doing. That one lady was working for him, and that lady's husband passed away. Now she was widowed. Right? Now the husband was working. He was paying the rent, whatever. She was working, so she was contributing. They were a poor family. She's contributing the groceries, whatever. And now the husband passed away. So what that person did, they put together some funds and they bought her one basic house and told her, right, now you don't have to worry about rent. That's a big expense. You don't have to worry about the rent, and you got a house now. So this is what we should be doing with our surplus monies, helping people so people don't have to get involved in riba. Right? Now, we just explain that in a little bit of detail, because a lot of times people are hesitant to lend because they feel, what if the man don't pay me back? Don't worry about that man. Have your gaze on Allah Pak. See how much Allah is paying you, how much returns Allah is giving you because you helped his one banda. how much Allah is helping, how much Allah is giving you in return. And that's going to help you in the akhirat. That will help you in the akhirat. That doesn't mean whoever has taken loans now, they mustn't pay the people back. You must pay the people back, because if you don't pay the people back, and you know, we do it despite having the money, you don't pay your debts, and that is another big guna. That's another big guna. Khair. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also passed by people whose lips were like that of camels. They were swallowing sparks of fire, and the sparks were coming out of their back passage, their anus. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam said, these are people who would unlawfully devour the wealth of orphans. And he passed by women who they were hanging from their chests. Their chests were tied up, and they were hanging from that. And Jibreel alayhi salam informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these were the women of ill repute, the women who were prostitutes, etc. And then he passed by people whose flesh from their sides were being cut, their flesh from their own sides were being cut, and the same thing was served to them as food. And Nabi Kareem was informed that these were the talebearers, and the fault finders, people who carry tales, and also people who just want to look for faults in other people. Allah Ta'ala safeguard us from both these evils. And as I mentioned to you earlier, the social media, right? This has become a platform just to carry tales. We hear one story from here, put it there. One story from there, put it here. And sometimes becomes so embarrassing, because the person, by mistake, he puts it on the wrong chat group. The wrong message, he wanted to private send it to somebody, he went and put it on one group. Or the message from this group, he's talking bad about another group, instead of putting in that group, he put it in this group. And then he becomes so embarrassed after that. Right? So we have, you know, in the old days, they say that man is from the Wild West, you know. He's from the Wild West. He's so quick on the trigger, you know. Person is so quick on the trigger. Today's time, we have become like keyboard warriors, you know. We are quick on the button. Send. We become like keyboard warriors, like how they were in the Wild West with the trigger on the gun. Our trigger became the keyboard on the phone. So we must watch. Spread good things. Why we want to spread bad things and faults of other people and all those kind of things. Allahumma fazna min. As you all know that we are on the Ayyam-e-Bees, and tomorrow night is the 15th night of Shaban. We have spoken about this. Other ulama have spoken about it. The main thing is, you know, to secure our maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the main thing with regards to this night, that it is a night to cry to Allah ta'ala, beg to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah ta'ala to forgive our sins. And especially now, the situation that we are in, whether people can blame whatever, some people, you know, whoever is doing whatever, end of the day, nobody can do anything without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to turn to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the one who is in control. So we must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah ta'ala to put upon us favorable conditions. Allah ta'ala must open our masajid, open our makatib, open our darul ulums, our madrasas, our work of tabligh, our khankas, our ta'lim, etc. Allah ta'ala must open it. That is our lifeline. That is what we hold on to. Allah ta'ala must open it up for us, and we can continue with our dini works. And if we haven't been showing that qadr to all these things, now this qadr must come into our heart. Qadr must come into our heart, and we must now get more involved in our dini efforts. For now, we carry on in our infiradi efforts, whatever we are doing in our homes, etc. But inshallah ta'ala, with the help of Allah ta'ala, once everything opens up again, then we must see that our masajid are full. The women folk must chase their husbands from the homes and go. We don't want our masjid to lock again. Go and keep the masjid abad. Keep the masjid full. Get involved in the works of deen, etc. Then also, all of you, so many people sent me messages, taziyati messages, etc. Allah Ta'ala reward you. As you know that yesterday my respected stepfather, Allah Ta'ala had taken him away, he breathed his last. So make dua for him that Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat, Allah Ta'ala grant him high stages in Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus. Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him and all the marhumin, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make their maghfirat and grant them high stages in Jannat. All those who have lost, you know, loved ones, Allah Ta'ala give them sabr jameel. Allah Ta'ala give them the strength to cope. Allah Ta'ala make them even closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And with regards to respected father, so, you know, death is death. Allah Ta'ala makes different bahanas for death, right? Different excuses Allah Ta'ala makes so that we don't start cursing the angel of death. The angel of death was concerned also, say, Ya Allah, I'm going to take the people's lives. People love their lives. I'm going to take their lives. Then they all start cursing me. They won't like me. Allah Ta'ala said, no, I'll take care of that. I'll create an excuse for death. So you see some people passing away in shootings. Some people pass away in motor car accident. Somebody has a heart attack. Somebody they say cancer. Somebody they say flu. Somebody they say COVID virus. All these are just bahana of maut. The main thing is we go with iman. We go with iman and we are resurrected with iman in a condition that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us. So alhamdulillah, he was out in the path of Allah. He was out in Jamaat. And his whole life, alhamdulillah, he was, from the time I came to know him, right, my mother married to him for just over 20 years. So from the time I know him, very, very parban on his work of tabligh. He wouldn't miss his ingash, outgash. When he was in the little town of Pitritif, when we used to go up there to visit also, same thing, very parban on his work of tabligh. And even when he moved to Durban also, all the time in Hilal, any jamaats in the area, he's prepared to make their nusrat and make mulaqats and do his ingash, outgash, go for his mashwara, go for his shab guzari. That was his life. Any mashwara happening abroad, he will go. Jors happening anyway, he would attend. Locally, whatever work was there, he would do. Right? So Allah Ta'ala, you know, used him for the khidmat of deen. And we find that he passed away while he was still out on his chilla. Right? So he had gone, he had come out for his 40 days. His 40 days was supposed to only finish at the ijtima. So he came out in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then they went to Pakistan. And he was not well prior to going to Pakistan. He was not well. But despite that, he still went. And then when he returned from there, he was very sick. So he came home for one night. The satis told him, you rather go home. You got very high fever. He came home for one night. And then the next morning, very next morning, he went back to Masjid-e-Hilal. He said, no, I must complete my time. And after that, this whole story about COVID and everything came up. So they asked them all to go into self-isolation and have themselves tested. So then he came back home and my honorable mother, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for her, asked him also, you know, must I, you know, unpack your sleeping bag and whatever. And he said, no, just keep everything ready. Few days, I'll just get the test. Once the results come, I'm feeling well. I can carry on with my chilla. And then he went for the COVID test. And his test came back negative, alhamdulillah. He was not even positive for the coronavirus. But his condition was deteriorating, his, you know, fever, cough, etc. And he continued like that for about almost 2 weeks. Condition was deteriorating. And thereafter, we had to hospitalize him. He went to hospital. Again, they did another corona test. And again, that test also came back negative, right? And then he spent about 9 days in hospital. And while he was in hospital, then they did a third test. And that test came back positive. Right? So whether he picked up the coronavirus in hospital or whatever it may be, that's all just a bahana. That is all. Coronavirus can't kill anybody, bullet can't kill anybody, knife can't kill anybody if Allah doesn't want it to happen. So he then passed away yesterday night, and the good thing is that he was actually like, you can stay, say, still in his chilla. His niyat was to continue. As soon as he gets better, he will continue. So he was like still out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala granted him his maut like that, like as if to say he was still out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the most important thing, that if Allah ta'ala keeps a person with iman, the person uses his resources, his physical strength, his intellect, his wealth, the person uses it for the deen of Allah ta'ala. And he was a person like that. He was not an extravagant person. He was not a person who was interested in fashion or looking smart. A very simple person. In fact, if he needed to buy something, it took him very long to make a decision. I used to joke with him also. I said, no, when you want to buy a car, tell me what car you want, give me the money, I'll go buy it and give it to you. Because you take too long to make a decision. But never got involved in banks. Never got involved in credit, owing people money, etc. If he had the money to buy something, he would spend it, and other than that, he would do without it. And Allah Ta'ala kept him like that, simple type of a life he led, and eventually Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala took him away. So we request you to remember him in your du'as, and all the other marhumin, when we are sitting to read, etc., we must baksha the marhumin, send isale sawab. For Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, Tabi'een, Tabu'u Tabi'een, the Imma'i Fiqh, the Qurra, all those who were instrumental in deen reaching us, all the Muhaddithun, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, all the authors of the Hadith kitabs, their Asatiza, we must include all of them. Each and every Ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who passed away with iman, we must include all of them when we are sending isale sawab. We read that one Yasin Sharif, but include all of them. And Allah Ta'ala will reward all of them, and Allah Ta'ala will give us our reward, and Allah Ta'ala will reward us for sending reward for all of them. You can read one Yasin Sharif and make the niyat for everybody, and Allah Ta'ala will reward us for all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal on whatever we have heard, stay away from the gunas, and Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, you know, to spend tomorrow night also in ibadat, and not only tomorrow night, right, but our rest of our lives, we must spend it in getting closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته